Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray that you open my mouth, that the words that come out are the words that you have for me today. Open our hearts and our minds to hear this message, Lord, that we can hear what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you've got your Bibles in front of you, I encourage you to open them up. I encourage you to open up to the passage that we had there. We're going to flip back and forth a little bit. From Romans 10 there to a couple other verses, because in these chapters, Paul really refers back to the Old Testament quite a bit. And while it'll be up on the screens a little bit, it's awesome to be able to have those in front of you and kind of look at it for yourself as well. Today, we're going to talk about three different things. We're going to talk about righteousness, faith, and feet. They go together, don't they? Well, actually, they do. If you were paying attention to that last verse, they really do. And we're going to start here going back to Romans 10, verse 5, where we hear Paul talking about here, for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. Paul's referring back to the law here. He's going back to where Moses received the law back in Leviticus, in chapter 18, verse 5, if you notice this, the verses almost are identical. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. Another word for statutes and rules are law. Law. And if a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. A little bit different the way God talked in the Old Testament than that Paul did in his letters. But it's basically the same idea here. Here Paul is giving the Romans a little sense of what's going on here. A lot of people in these days were really just like us Americans. If I live a good life, if I do things the right way, it'll all go good for me. Isn't that the way we think things are very often? Isn't that the way a lot of Americans and people around our world today believe, is that if I do things right, if I do things the way I think I should, if I give a lot to charity, and if I do this and I do that, things are going to go well, and I'll be able to go to heaven, right? That's the way a lot of people believe. In fact, I do have to remind you, though, Paul even, he reminds us here that the law has a number of different things that are involved here. We know what the commandments are, right? Don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those are all wrapped up into the two commandments, love God and love your neighbor, right? That's all the same. But here, he's reminding us that this is nothing new. Even in Leviticus, and Paul to Romans, and to us today, we should follow God's commands. But the also thing here is that Paul is reminding people that it doesn't take a Christian faith and faith alone just to do good things. Yes, it's true. Non-Christians, non-Christian people can give lots to charity and can do really nice things. True? Absolutely, they can. But that is not all that's important. You see, Paul is getting at the fact that no matter what, we're not perfect. We can never live up to the fact that no matter how hard we try, no matter how good we think we are, no matter how much we look at that beautiful grandmother that looks like she's always doing everything right, would never have a bad thought in her mind, she still does too, doesn't she? Yeah. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. You see, we move on into the next couple of verses here, verses 6 through 8. And it says, the righteousness based on faith says, don't say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, or who will descend into the abyss. But what does it say? It says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. See, that's the difference here. When we have faith in our heart, the Holy Spirit is working in us and through us to do these good things, to bring us closer to Him, and the works and the motive behind those things are a pure motive and a pure work. And God is saying it's written on your mouth and in your heart. And even here, Paul knows his Old Testament. Because you know where these verses come from? Look those over real quick. We go back to Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 and 15. We can find this again, almost the same words again. For this commandment that I commanded you today is not too hard for you, neither it is far off. Remember hearing that? It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven? It's not beyond the sea that you say, who's going to go down to the sea and bring it up to us? That we may hear and do it. See, that's the only difference here. Paul isn't necessarily talking about the doing part, but here in the Old Testament, it's reminding us that we should be doing it. But here's the important part. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart that you can do it. See that I have set it before you today, life and good, death and evil. See, God has written his law on our hearts and our minds. It's through our conscience that we know what is right and what is wrong. He has worked faith in our hearts to do the good things that he has for us as well. You see, these commandments can live in our hearts with the power of the Holy Spirit living in us and through us. But sometimes we might wonder, how do we get there? How do we get that faith that is living in us and through us? Well, Paul continues here in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? That's the assurance that we have. It's a really simple and awesome assurance. God has written these laws now that we know them. They're in us. They're in our mouths and our hearts. But now, if we use our mouth to confess it and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we have the assurance of salvation. But the question is, do we often confess that Jesus is the Lord? You know, like this new graphic. The one to the right, or I'm sorry, to the left, Michigan. Anybody know how many days till kickoff? 20, exactly. 20 days till kickoff. I am sure that he's not the only one that's been confessing about Michigan. In fact, I am sure that there's a number of you that will say, if they don't win at least 9 games, coach is getting fired. I believe in my heart that they'll win at least 10 games this year. Do we believe that? Do we confess all about Michigan? Do we talk about Michigan with our friends and our family? If they have a special place in our heart, they sure do. And on the other side, we've got Eastern Michigan. We might believe in our heart that they will also lose 10 games this year, even if they have that fancy new gray turf. But if Eastern Michigan is near and dear to our heart, we'll be talking about that football team to a certain extent. Because we believe in the team. We believe what we know to be true about that team. And we want to share with other people the excitement that it brings to us about those football games that start in 20 days till kickoff. You see, too often we hang up on things that aren't as important. We often easily confess how exciting it is about Michigan football. But do we confess and talk about what we believe about Jesus? Friends, here's a big important crux of what happens in our life. There are people all around us that don't know this message of salvation. There are people dying today, tomorrow, without hearing and believing the message of Jesus Christ. And if we truly believe that what we hear in this passage, that the way to heaven is to believe in Jesus, we should be excited to share that message with other people, don't you think? Way more excited than them. Years ago, there was a convention down in Indianapolis, and there was a young man that wanted to go to this convention. He just couldn't quite afford all the money to get to this convention. And so he stood on a street corner, he started talking to whoever he could talk to. And he was filled with passion, and he was sharing about Jesus. And people kept coming and coming and coming and coming until this whole street corner was filled with people. And he couldn't talk in that corner because traffic couldn't get by anymore. So he said, you know what? I know this little auditorium down the street. We can go into this music hall and I'll keep preaching and talking to you. So they get down to this auditorium and turns out he kept preaching. I mean, the Holy Spirit was working through this guy and people were listening and excited to hear the message that he was sharing. Eventually, that little auditorium got too full and they moved into the big hall that was next door. But his sermon got cut short. He could only talk for a couple more minutes. This young man's name was D.L. Moody. You might have heard of him in different circles. Well, they kicked him out of there because the conference of being able to reach out to the masses was just about to start. But aren't we often like that conference? We have the desire to want to have people to know, but we might go to conferences. We might go to talk about it here in church during the hour and a half or 2 hours that we're here. But do we go out on the street corner like Moody did and share that message with those around us? Do we go out and spread that message of Jesus with everybody around us? Good intentions often get stopped because of fear, because of other things that get in the way, because of excuses. See, in Romans 10, verses 14 and 15, we continue on. It says, how then will they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Here's that feet part. See, the feet part comes in here because in those days, any messages that were transferred back and forth when Paul wrote these letters, they had to be run back and forth. If somebody had good news, if somebody had bad news, they were running. They were going back and forth. They were using their feet. And that's where this is coming from, is using the feet. How beautiful is the feet? Don't you get excited when you get good news? Today it might be how beautiful are the fingers that sent me the email or that made a phone call to me. But in those days, how beautiful are the feet that sends the awesome message of the gospel. And Paul's reiterating that. How beautiful are the feet of those who share the message of Jesus. And again, this is nothing new. Paul's being reminded of this from the scriptures that he learned earlier in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. And it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful are those feet that share good news. See, Paul quickly turns the table. He's first sharing the news that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross, that can give us that faith. But then he turns around and says, now that you've got that faith, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with that? You see, this past week, and I had the kids come in a little bit early, a lot of these kids were out at Upward Camp this last week, and it was amazing to me how this verse, the verse that all these kids learned each and every day, and if they can say it with me, can you kids say this verse with me? Do your best to please God. Be a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. Teach the message of truth correctly. I think they're a little shy. You guys will get a chance to say it again in a little bit, but the adults will help you out. You see, the kids all week were focusing on this Bible passage. How interesting and how cool is it the way God works is reminding the kids also that they don't have to be ashamed of the message of Christ. They can be bold and teach this message to those around them as well. This past week at Upward Camp, Pastor referred to it early in the prayer. We had 154 kids at this camp. This is a camp where we take a bunch of skilled athletes and coaches. Some of these coaches were state championship winning coaches. Some of these coaches are really good basketball players. Others are coaches from the area. These folks here were our basketball experts. By putting on a superb basketball experience, we were able to teach these kids the game of basketball. We warmed them up. We teached them fundamentals of the game. We had lots of fun with these kids going up and down the basketball courts. Recognize any of those kids? I think that's my favorite picture. Too bad he's not here. But more importantly, at 10 o'clock every day, the kids huddled up around their baskets. They stopped. They learned that Bible verse. They learned to have confidence, to share that message with others around them. Here you see John sharing with the kids about how they are a child of the King and how the kids will also receive a crown in heaven and they don't have to be ashamed to share that message with other people. Every day at 10:20, they shared the message and built relationships. Like this relationship here of Amalia. Amalia was a girl that had never come to anything before. She hadn't gone to school. She hadn't gone to preschool, anything like that. This is her first experience outside of hanging out with mom. And she was nervous. And here Hannah was able to share the message of Jesus with her by building relationship with her through this camp. You see, by putting on a fantastic, excellent basketball experience, we were able to build relationship with kids and share Jesus with them. Each day we had different speakers come. We had different speakers such as the head coach of the women's basketball team at Concordia, Thad Sankey, and Kyle Tomes, the head of school at WCA, and other speakers came and talked to the kids at 11 o'clock, gave them an encouraging message to teach them that even if they're an athlete, even if there's somebody in the community that has a great role, they also can share the message of Jesus and live a life as well. Everybody had lots of fun playing and getting together. We even had some representatives from the district come, like Pastor Bodley from the A2E Ministries and Galen Walther, one of the district executives, so they could also see how we can share Jesus with different kids. On Friday, sorry, Jackie. On Friday, we fed almost 400 kids with the help of Jackie and Meredith and others. And it is another tangible way to be the hands and the feet of God. One of the things I didn't mention, I meant to say at the very beginning here, is if you know anything about me, I'm a little bit of a control freak when it comes to things. I like to be there plenty early to set up. Every morning, there was a gentleman that was there, Bob, that made it before me every single morning to be the feet of Jesus, moving basketballs, moving water bottles, filling these water bottles. We had lots of people that helped make this an exciting experience for the kids. But more so, they were hearing the message. Can you all say this together with me? 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Do your best to please God. Be a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. Teach the message of truth correctly. You see, the verse that comes next day finishes up with this. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It's so important for us never to forget this part. If we're just hearing the word of God through this hour and a half or 2 hours on Sunday morning, are we really growing in our faith? If we're not sharing that message to other people, how are they going to hear it? God has placed you in a unique place in this world to share Jesus with the people around you, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's the cashier at the grocery store, whether it's the person at the gas station, or even the person in line behind you. God has placed you in unique positions to share the love of Jesus and the message of salvation. I encourage you to not be ashamed of that gospel, to not forget the message that Jesus has for you, that we should hear his word. Remember that because Jesus died on the cross, we have the assurance of forgiveness of sins. We can have that faith in our hearts, and we can be the feet and the hands to share the message of Jesus with others. Amen.